Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
New Degree Advanced, first ever 72-hour nonstop protection with motion sensors. Tested to the limit and proven.
Still feeling dry and fresh.
72-hour nonstop protection, however much you move.
Inspire me. I want you to keep on.
inspire me. You inspire me. Don't you know I love you, girl?
Good evening. This is a product of WBNN. This is NewsHour, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air now from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment, a part of Ngozi Time. And once again, that number is 516-453-9133, and hit 1 to join the conversation. For our first news article of the evening, well, let me back that up. For those of you tuning in from the U.S., happy 4th of July. Hope you are celebrating well. Let's be cautious when you're lighting fireworks and practice safety protocols. As we know, it has been dry and humid. And for those of you around the world tuning in again to hear Genesis Amaris Kemp, I thank you so much and welcome back to the segment. Our first segment for NewsHour tonight is regarding the Akron police shooting. For those of you that aren't familiar, Akron is in Ohio, and there was recently a police shooting where a young man was shot 60 times. So here we go. Akron police shooting renews questions about officer training. And as we all know from whenever the whole Black Lives Matter movement jumped off, there was a lot of questioning around, are police accurately trained for the duty, and are they, you know, overusing their powers, or are they just taking advantage, or whatever the case may be. There were so many things going on. But it says Jalen Walker, a 25-year-old Black man who was unarmed at the time he was killed by police, Akron, Ohio, last week, was shot at least 60 times. Authorities said over the weekend, when they released body camera footage of the shooting, the sheer number of bullets that were fired, but as many as 8 officers involved in the shooting, has prompted renewed questions from politicians and activists who are criticizing what they view as excessive use of force by police. We've been there before, y'all, and now it's sad to say that we're reliving this again. Law enforcement and experts in police law who have viewed body cam footage of the shooting say that the officer's response reflects standard police training. Quote, officers are trained to shoot until the threat they perceive and or reasonably believe is present has ended, said Lance LoRusso, a lawyer who specializes in use of force cases. But other experts warn that the U.S. police training lags behind other countries when it comes to addressing the psychological and physiological aspects of use of force. Police shoot until the perceived threat no longer exists. Stephen Milette, the Akron police chief, said as much at Sunday's news conference when he fielded questions about whether there are police protocols in place for situations in which multiple officers are firing at a suspect and how many bullets should be fired. Y'all think about that. How many bullets do you think should be fired? And do you think that they should shoot to wound or should they be trained to shoot to kill? And there's always two sides of a story. So this is just one side, but I want you on the receiving end to really think about this from not just a psychological aspect, but a physiological aspect, because I know a pair of lips say anything. Let's jump back into the story here, y'all. While the investigation into the shooting is still ongoing, y'all, my LET said officers independently related that they did perceive such a threat. How can you perceive a threat if now other sources are saying he did not have a weapon? Okay, let's keep diving in, y'all. Let's not make speculations. What began as a routine traffic stop turned into a public safety issue, police said, when a shot appeared to have been fired from Walker's vehicle during the pursuit, although authorities said that Walker left his gun behind when he exited his car to flee on foot. Officers said that after unsuccessful attempt to use tasers, they feared the suspect was preparing to shoot when they fired their weapons. So they feared. So that could seem like a speculation. Some people may say a hypothesis or whatever. Milet said he didn't know how many shots were fired at Walker, but he said he expected the number would be high. Legally, the number of shots doesn't matter in such cases, LoRusso noted. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed that under the Fourth Amendment, if officers are justified in firing at a suspect in order to end a severe threat to public safety, they need not stop shooting until the threat has ended. So think about that, y'all. So they're telling them, you keep on shooting, you keep on shooting, you keep on firing until the threat has ceased. So how many bullets does a person need inside of them for a police officer not to feel threatened? But that's just my opinion. I know we're all entitled to our opinion. It's up to the courts to decide whether the officer's assessment of the threat was reasonable. Police are not trained to shoot to wound. A high number of bullets and the deadly outcomes that often result from use of force scenarios boils down to marksmanship, said Edward Obayashi, the deputy sheriff of Plumas County in California. Despite what Hollywood portrays like Lethal Weapon, Dirty Harry, and all these other movies and television shows, there is no cop out there that even comes close to that type of shooting skill, Obayashi said. And to that, a moving target, poorly lit environments, and rapidly evolving circumstances, LaRusso said, aiming at the largest target available is the safest method to avoid hitting unintended targets. Legally speaking, the lawyer says, there's no difference between shooting a suspect in the thigh as opposed to the chest. The shooting of a person in any body part is the same level of force, deadly force, and must be justified under state law. He said, adding that either shot carries the same degree of risk of serious bodily injury or death, which is the standard to justify the use of deadly force. I want you all to think about all of this information, and I want you to really process it and ask yourself, if you were in the line of fire and you took an oath to serve and protect, do you feel that you would psychologically think about things, or would you physiologically think about things? Do you say that if it was your job, would you factor in religion and spirituality, or would you factor in job training? There's so many angles that we could look at what's going on in today's society, but these are things that we really need to be mindful and critical of. And the last part of this article says, under stress, the human body doesn't know right from wrong. Think about that, y'all. Many officers today are armed with semi-automatic weapons that are able to discharge an entire magazine, usually about 15 or 17 rounds, within seconds, said Obayashi, who also works as a use of force consultant to law enforcement agencies. That means an unwarranted number of bullets may be fired in quick succession by the time an officer realizes it's time to stop firing. He said, It's going to take another period of time for your vision to then transmit a signal to the brain saying, oh, okay, the threat is over. I'm going to stop firing. The physiological response can be understated, said Maria Maki Haberfield, a professor of police science at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Unfortunately, the adrenaline, the stress, they take over, and it cannot be just clinically explained in terms of what's right and what's wrong, she said. So they're looking at all viewpoints, but I want y'all to let that marinate, and we're going to jump into a track by DJ Legend, Brother O, and then pick up with the next story.
Do you want-
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We just heard a track from our legendary DJ Brother O. For those of you that are just now tuning in, this is a product of WBNN. This is News Hour, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air now from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And for those of you who are on the internet, you could type in www.blogtalkradio.com/Ngozitime, and that's N-G-O-Z-I-T-I-M-E. Now, we're heading on over to our next news segment for the evening, and this one affects us all. For those of you that have seen the inflation and gas prices at the pump, and I'm talking about those of you that are driving gas cars, not EVs, you're not driving an electric vehicle, you're not rolling in a Tesla or any other form of car that may be a combination of electric and gasoline, they're known as a hybrid, or et cetera. And this one is going to hit from Jeff Bezos. He slams White House for calling on gas stations to cut prices because everyone has seen the hike in gas. No matter where you are in the U.S., we felt it. And if you're driving a car versus a crossover versus an SUV, I'm sure you notice more as you were filling up your tank. So Jeff Bezos is sparring with the White House over the cause of high gas prices, with the world's second richest person expressing opposition to a tweet from President Joe Biden that called on fuel companies to cut prices. Bezos took issue with a July 2nd tweet from Mr. Biden that told the companies running gas stations and setting prices at the pump to bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you're paying for the product, and do it now. Responding to Biden's message, Bezos, the founder of Amazon.com, took aim at the president's blaming corporations. Ouch! Inflation is far too important a problem for the White House to keep making statements like this, Bezos tweeted. Quote it, it's either straight ahead misdirection or a deep misunderstanding of basic market dynamics. That's what his quote said on Twitter, y'all. Gas prices sat at $4.80 a gallon on average on Monday, or 53% higher than a year earlier, according to AAA. The surge in prices at the pump are due to a number of economic and political issues, ranging from a spike in demand for fuel as Americans began driving again to Russia's war in Ukraine, according to experts. The White House issued a retort to Bezos' criticism, with White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre pointing out a gap between oil prices and the cost of gasoline at the pump. Oil prices have dropped by about $15 over the past month, but prices at the pump have barely come down. That's not basic market dynamics, she wrote in a tweet. It's a market that is failing the American consumer. She added, but I guess it's not surprising that you think oil and gas companies using market power to reap record profits at the expense of the American people is the way our economy is supposed to work. Again, that was quoted by Karine Jean-Pierre. Now, let's keep on diving in, y'all. Meanwhile, gas prices have declined from their record high of $5.02 a gallon on June 14th. According to AAA, that's due partly to Americans consuming less gasoline, a pullback due to the hit to their budgets from high gas prices. It's not the first time that Bezos has sparred with the White House over inflation. In May, Bezos blamed the president for the sharpest spike in inflation in 4 decades and describes soaring prices as a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. So y'all think about that. And from a consumer standpoint, have you noticed paying more at the gas pump? And how has that made you feel from a consumer standpoint? Have you questioned whether you should forego even driving as much? Have you questioned about maybe it's time to tap into an EV, electric vehicle, but then you have to factor in, okay, do I need to put solar panels on my house? Do I need to have a supercharging station? How close are them in proximity? There's a lot of pros and cons that have people thinking about the gas prices that that are out right now, plus the amount of fuel it's taken to fill up their vehicles. And, you know, it's summertime, depending if you're in the U.S. right now or if you're around the world. Are you commuting more? Because a lot of people have went back to work if they're working for a brick and mortar. And then with the pandemic, people decided, you know what, I like to work remotely. So then they're saving money by not commuting. So I really want you to think about that from a consumer standpoint and then dial in and give me some of your reflections. Once again, we're on air live from Lagos, and to call in, it's 516-453-9133, and you can press 1 to join the conversation. This is a product of WBNN, and it's being brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Now we're going to jump on over to our next track by DJ Legend, Brother O, and then pick up with the next story.
I think I better let it go.
like I want to say,
I hope y'all were vibing. That was the track Love TKO by the legendary Teddy Pendergrass. And thank you, DJ Legend, Brother O, for that track. For those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to the segment. This is News Hour, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and this is a product of WBNN. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation being brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And for our next news segment, it's going to be world news. For those of you who have not heard, there was another shooting, this time in Copenhagen, Denmark, and this is being brought to you by CNN. A man was arrested on suspicion of killing 3 people and wounding several others during a shooting at a shopping mall in Copenhagen, is being remanded in a psychiatric facility for 24 days, Danish police said Monday. Now let's think about this, y'all. We've seen mass shootings in the U.S. We've seen it over the world. Why is it that every time there's a shooting, people want to say that they had a psychiatric break? Are they just using that just to negate what happened, or have those people really been psychologically and no one got them help? I really want you to think about that, because there's always two sides of the story, but every time I see something on the news, people are saying that they had some mental issues or there was a psychiatric break or et cetera. Are we just using that too loosely? Let's jump back into the story. The 22-year-old Danish man was known to psychiatric professionals, police said earlier. Okay, so it sounds like he had a history, y'all. The suspect was charged with manslaughter. Copenhagen police tweeted, "The court who heard the case on Monday has put a ban on naming both the suspect and 10 victims named in charge," the force added in a series of tweets. The shooting unfolded on Sunday at multiple locations inside Field, a shopping center in the Danish capital. Social media footage showed people running through the mall and heavily armed law enforcement officers on the scene. At a press conference on Monday morning, Copenhagen's head of police, Soren Thomasen, said 2 17-year-old Danish citizens, one male and one female, and a 47-year-old Russian national had been killed in gunfire. 2 other Danes and 2 Swedish nationals had received gunshot wounds and were in the hospital in critical but stable condition, while several others sustained minor injuries while leaving the mall, Thomasen said. In a statement on Monday, police said 3 people were lightly injured by stray bullets. A total of 27 people were wounded or injured in the attack, with 20 of them lightly injured during the evacuation, added the statement. The man arrested in connection with the shooting is currently the only suspect. Thomasen said there is no indication the suspect was others, but an investigation was ongoing. Earlier, the police had said they detained the suspect 13 minutes after receiving the first emergency call, and that he was carrying a rifle and ammunition at the time of his arrest. At the news conference on Monday, Thomason said there was no indication that the attack was an act of terror nor motivated by gender, and police believe the victims were chosen at random. The suspect was known to people in the psychiatric field, he said. So, y'all, if he was known to people in the psychiatric field, and if someone close to him noticed that something was off, I wonder why no one intervened to get him the help that he needed. I really want y'all to think about that. But once again, I'm not here to make assumptions. I'm here to bring you the news article. But these are things that we should be thinking about from a holistic standpoint, because if someone is off, we should see, are they okay? Is there anything that you need, or et cetera, just so maybe we could start being more proactive versus reactive. And the article goes on to say, mass shootings are rare in Denmark. Gun violence is relatively rare. Once again, in Denmark, Copenhagen's last major shooting incident was in 2015 when a gunman attacked a free speech forum featuring controversial cartoonist Lars Vilks, killing one man and wounding three others. As investigators piece together the circumstances that led to Sunday's deadly shooting, questions are being asked as to how the suspected gunman could have obtained the weapon and ammunition used in the attack. That's a good question, because if he was already seen in the psychiatric field, they may have had certain things on his profile where he was not able to purchase handguns. But then again, I don't know the laws fully in Denmark, but let's see what they say. As Denmark is considered to have some of the most restrictive gun laws in Europe. Okay, question answered, y'all, for those of y'all that were thinking it. Whereas in the United States, gun ownership is conditionally guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. In Denmark, the right to private gun ownership is not guaranteed by law, according to gunpolicy.org, an organization that tracks international firearm policy. Through restrictive licensing, Danish authorities attempt to reduce firearm violence by sustainably as well as substantially reducing the number of firearms in circulation. An applicant for a firearm license in Denmark must pass a background check, which considers criminal and mental health, according to gunpolicy.org. Only licensed gun owners may lawfully acquire, possess, or transfer a firearm or ammunition. Applicants for a gun owner's license in Denmark are required to establish a genuine reason to possess a firearm. For example, hunting, target shooting, collection, according to gunpolicy.org. So I want y'all to think about that and think about the stringent laws that they have outside of the U.S. and then compare the laws that we have in the U.S. So this applies to those of you that are listening that are U.S.-based, and as well as those international listeners that are listening. And once again, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and supporting News Hour. That concludes News Hour segment. So we are going to jump into our next track by DJ Legend, Brother O, and then we're going to jump into Gems after that, where we'll be talking about boundaries. So hit that track, DJ.
It's so hard just holding on and keeping picking up my phone. It's hard enough to be, hard enough to stay, hard enough to be alone. I'm just trying to move along. Sometimes I do and then I don't. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell myself that it ain't helping. Second guessing it don't help me. I'm so tired of feeling empty. Dry my eyes, it's time to fight. Seems like I'm always against me. Seems like this is never ending. I refuse to let it end me. Mentally, spiritually, physically, I need my peace. Oh, I need my peace. got a book and I'm fearing sad.
Come on, hey, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Come on, hey, gorgeous.
Good morning,
gorgeous.
Come on, hey,
gorgeous.
All the times that I hated myself,
yeah.
All the times that I wanted to be someone else,
yeah.
All the times that I should have been
gentle
with me, all the times that I should have been careful with me. Why did I hate myself?
Why did I hate so intensely? Lord help me.
I wake up every morning and tell myself,
morning gorgeous.
Sometimes I gotta look in the mirror and say,
come on, hey, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Come on, hey, gorgeous.
Thank you, Brother O, for playing that track. For those of you that don't know, that was Mary J. Blige, and her song is called Hello Gorgeous. And the reason why that song was played is because sometimes you need to start your day off on a high, positive note. And when you wake up, you start your day with high energy, high vibration, thankfulness. For those of you that are religious and spiritual, thank your creator for waking you up to see another day, and then start off with your affirmations. Have you told yourself, good morning, gorgeous? What type of talk are you giving yourself? Are you giving yourself that positive self-talk to get your day going in the right direction, getting you pumped up, feeling good, and et cetera? So I just wanted to play that song as a reminder, because I feel like you just need to tell yourself, good morning, gorgeous. Or for those fellas out there, just say, good morning, handsome, and start reciting things about yourself so you could get your day started and going in the right positive direction. And for those of you tuning back in, we just concluded the News Hour segment. My name is Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, and now we're jumping into the GEM segment. In this segment, we're going to talk about boundaries, because it is so important to set boundaries for yourself, but also how do you keep and maintain those boundaries for yourself as well as enforce them for other people that are in your life. Because y'all, let me tell y'all, people will run you ragged, especially if they know that you're that yes woman or that yes man and you don't know how to say no. And just because you say no, that other person should not get upset, because maybe you just have a lot going on. Maybe you're just exhausted. You're just tired. All of us have lives, but if we could do it, then we would do it. But if we can't do it, we're going to say no. And it's okay. They should respect our no and keep it going, keep it pushing without having any animosity or et cetera. And for those of you that are just tuning in once again, we just concluded News Hour. I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. This is a product of WBNN, and you could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, which is being brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And y'all, I'm going to cover the book Boundaries, because Boundaries is a great book for those of you that are struggling to know how do you set up boundaries in your personal life as well as your professional life. And I'm going to tell you why I selected this book, because it helped me out a lot. I read it whenever I was going to seminary school for a little bit, way, 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 way back in the day. And now it's coming full circle, especially as, you know, my life is transitioning and we're building out our family. There are certain boundaries I'm going to put in place so I can ensure people don't run me ragged and I'm out here looking, you know, some type of way. So for those of you, I want to hear what What are some ways that you are setting up boundaries personally and professionally in your life, and how do you make sure that you're maintaining those boundaries as well as enforcing them without feeling guilt, shame, or remorse? Because sometimes it's hard to say no to our family members and friends, and the minute that you try to switch things up, they're like, what's wrong with you? Because you were so used to saying yes all the time. And when you hit them with that no, they want to look at you like something's wrong with you when your season has changed or you just went through a transitioning period and the transformation is taking place. And that's okay, y'all. So I'm going to give you a quick summary of the book Boundaries, and then we're going to dive in. So the book is called Boundaries. It's by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And for those of you listening, if you're interested in getting the book, it's a white cover book and there is a red pencil on it. And there is a line that's going through bound and then Aries. So the quick synopsis of the book is Boundaries explains with the help of modern psychology and Christian ideals how to improve your mental health and personal growth by establishing guidelines for self-care, y'all. I'm going to say that again, self-care, because sometimes we forget to practice self-care because we are so busy trying to take care of everybody else that we forget to take care of the most important person, and that's us, y'all. That includes saying no more often and standing firm in your decisions rather than letting people walk all over you. Because, y'all, sometimes whenever you say no, people want to get their panties in a bunch, they get their boxers in a bunch, and they just can't accept it. But it's okay for them to say no to somebody else, but when you say no to them, it's like, why is she doing that? Why is he doing that? What did I do? Or et cetera. So I really want y'all to think about that. Callers, I want to hear your feedback. Once again, the number to dial in is 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. This is a product of WBN, and it's being brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And we do have our first caller in the queue. Caller, thank you for dialing in. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Genesis. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I am doing well, Mo. How are you? Happy 4th of July if you celebrate.
Same to you. I wanted to call in and support your show. It's outstanding as usual. And before I respond to boundaries, I wanted to respond to the comment that some believe that the body doesn't know right away what's wrong under stress. I think you mentioned that in your second segment. I think that's
yes.
True. Yeah, it's interesting that the last few mass shooters were calmly taken under arrest, especially on the one a few days ago in Kentucky. He killed 3 police officers, and he negotiated with the police officers that were still, you know, there, and he was taken safely into custody. And another one was taken to Burger King before he was booked. I do believe that race plays an integral part in their stress. I'm sorry. I've also been a nurse and I've worked trauma, and I can tell you I've been majorly stressed out, majorly. And nowhere, in no way did anybody not, were we not able to function as a unit. Even though we were majorly stressed out, we were able to function as a unit. So I don't buy that at all.
So thank you for saying that, because I know you come from your profession was in the mental health, right? And you're a nurse by trade, right, Mo?
Yes. Well, I did a little bit of everything in nursing. I did mental health. I did trauma. I did ICU. I did critical care. I did hospice. So I've been around.
Okay. So it's interesting to hear from your standpoint who has actually worked in the field. I have not worked in the field, so it's always good to hear a different perspective and a different vantage point, because, you know, the media is going to put out what they want to put out. And like I said, there's always 2 sides of the story. So we have to really look at a story and break it down to the lowest common denominator and have a holistic view, because sometimes the news is not always right and they're going to tell you something to just paint the picture, but they're not going to tell you the whole schematic of it unless you have eyewitnesses that were like, no, here's a video that I took, or no, this is what I saw,
exactly.
or et cetera. So it's so hard these days because you're like, from a outside perspective looking in, you're caught in between, and then you wanna interject, but then your interjection, you're like, am I making speculations because I don't fully know what's going on? But I do believe that race does play a factor based on mm-hmm. the number of shootings and police
yeah.
brutality that we have seen in the U.S., and that's just my personal opinion from things that I have seen, as well as some of the people that I have met who have been incarcerated, and some of them were wrongfully incarcerated, but they didn't have the money to pay someone that, you know, that could represent them. So they were forced to have a court-appointed attorney, and sometimes that attorney doesn't even know their name. And our commissioner, Chinchilla Day, she does a phenomenal job getting some of these people on her segment on Sunday to just talk about mm-hmm. their story. And it's mind-boggling because you can't tell me that people are just doing – out here just going wild. Like, there has to be some type of clues, some type of triggers and stuff that we have missed that could have helped, you know, prevent this. So, like I said, I think people need to start being more proactive versus reactive, and we really need to stop pointing the fingers and look at things from a holistic view. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. Totally.
So now yeah. let's I want to see your take on boundaries, because I feel like nowadays everyone is just expecting people to say, oh, yes, 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 I'll do this or whatnot. But when they get hit with that no, it's like, you feeling okay, or what's wrong with you? Or they want to pop off and have an attitude, when in actuality they may not even know what's going on in your household. They may not know that, you know, you have other obligations to take care of. And if you were able to help, you would help them, no doubt. But the minute that you say no, why does it have to be like, you know, like you're their worst enemy or nightmare?
That's funny, because I go through this all the time. I speak on my show about dysfunctional families. That's because I'm from one. And it's interesting because I just had to set a boundary about a year ago with one of my brothers. I didn't speak to him for a month. I remember telling him, I said, I can't speak to you for a month. And this is why. And I clearly stated why. And it made him so angry. He was actually belligerent at times, and I had to block him. And then after the month was over, I was feeling great. You know, I was like, this was a wonderful month. You know, I needed that. And then he was like, he still missed the whole point. Like, it was about me. It had nothing to do with him.
Exactly.
On my own end. So you can't get lost in your boundary and say, okay, I have to make this about somebody else. It's all about you.
Exactly. And thank you for adding that, Mo, because someone needed to hear that tonight, because boundaries is a sign of respect for you as an individual to just put that up, because if you don't set boundaries for yourself and enforce it on other people, people are going to drive you and run you ragged. And the fact that he got upset, that's his problem. That's not your
yep.
problem. So we can't
exactly.
we can't say, oh, okay, my brother got upset, my sister got upset, my mother-in-law, my mama, or whatnot, because then you begin to internalize that, and then that's going to affect you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, because you're so
yeah.
busy worried about what they're thinking when they're over there lollygagging and going about their way. And I feel like that's why we need to really talk about boundaries. How do we set them? How do we cultivate it? How do we enforce them? And et cetera, because y'all, like Mo, like you said, you had a block. I tell people, welcome to the block party. I don't even tell people that they're going to get blocked. If somebody comes with me with foolishness, especially me being close to my delivery date, I just block them and keep it moving. I don't need to tell you that you're on the block party. I just don't need that negative energy, that negative vibe, because I have a lot that's going on in my personal life that I don't need to explain to you, because it's not your personal business. And as Tabitha Brown would say, I love her, y'all. She's like, and that's my business.
Yeah, I never told my brother that I blocked him. I never actually told him. He still to this day doesn't know that I blocked him. He said he sent me the worst emails he'd ever sent anybody in his life. I was like, I'm glad I didn't read that. I'm glad I didn't even get that. he was
exactly.
So I just,
and you shouldn't, you shouldn't have to explain yourself to somebody whenever
no,
you say no. Just let your no be no. Just like when we were growing up as kids, Mel, when our parents told us no, there was no going back and forth with your parents, especially what type of family you grew up in. Because I grew up in a Caribbean family. You know, my mama, you'll probably get the backhand or something like that. But, you know, now that, you know, I was raised in America versus my brother, you know, my mom said, oh, no, I didn't want to go to jail with the orange jumpsuit. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mo, for calling in and supporting. I'm so glad that you added your views for the new segment and you added more value to the conversation, and you also talked about boundaries. So I do appreciate your support. And for those of you tuning in, Mo Garman is also a host here on WBNN. So she's over here blazing up the scenes, too, so we like to support each other. And for those of you that are just now tuning into the conversation, we're now into the GEM segment. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Once again, this is a product of WBNN, and this is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And now we're going to jump into our track by DJ Legend, Brother O.
I don't love you anymore.
Wow. That was I Don't Love You Anymore by legendary Teddy Pendergrass. And now we have caller two in queue. Caller two, thank you for dialing in. State your name and where you're tuning in from.
I'm calling number two. This is Huni Bakatun, a.k.a. the Magic Man Haru. I don't love you anymore. I don't. Such a shame. A dirty shame. Hey, Hall of Fame four-time don't know nothing. Look, he don't know nothing about that. Anyway, on the real, I'm loving your topic. Let me get back and be serious. Look, I'm going to tell you what's going on. This is not a prejudge. This is a rejudge. The white power structure have convinced themselves and each other and pretty much the whole world, especially over here in America, to keep making excuses for everything, any and everything that they do. From their history, that's full of lies. You understand? And they keep making excuses for it. And the best way that you handle this is, well, you're soon to be a mother. I've been a father for many years. And when you're dealing with a child, you got to be able to discipline that child, straight up. You understand? I'm not talking about getting down abuse and none of that, right? But you need to have discipline. And if you don't discipline a child and you keep making excuses for everything that that child does, guess what's going to happen? That child grows up undisciplined, that's capable of doing any and everything. Okay? And the other part that you're sharing with us tonight is setting up boundaries. Well, here's the boundaries I should have set up. I no longer need the approval pretty much of anyone when it comes to me. I took time to be able to study myself. I'm proud of my history, knowing that, you know, according to his history, it started from slavery, which I know that's a bald-faced lie. You understand? And those are the boundaries that we have to set up. I know I set up them boundaries. And I'm not going to accept that old worn-out excuse. You understand? And soon as real people, God-fearing people, you know, really start to make up their mind that they're not going to accept any worn-out excuses that's been handed down for the rest of the world. Most of the stuff you see that's happening, all of these shootings back-to-back, stop making excuses for it. Hold these people accountable. Hold them accountable. And every suspect, and I always said this before, and I'm going to say it again, especially when it comes to our people, stop being so preoccupied when danger is lurking. You got to be to the point where you're perceiving danger, something dangerous is about to happen. And when you see an enemy, any enemy, you got to be able to be willing, able, and ready to take their head off and hand it to them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Magic Man, Huni Bakatun, for those of y'all listening, this is another host on our radio show, and he is legendary, y'all. He has had so many accolades and broken so many records. So I thank him for calling in and just adding his value. Huni, you always come fresh out the gate with your values, and I do believe that we do have to hold everybody accountable, and it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic status or et cetera. You know, the law is the law, and just because you look one way does not mean that you should grease through like lightning or have some form of grease payment. What did they say? You did the crime. Now it's time for you to pay the time. I know I didn't quote that accurately, but you guys know where I'm coming from. So pick up what I'm putting down. And with boundaries, I think that's just so important, especially the fact that you did mention that I am getting ready to walk into motherhood very, very soon. And it's up to us as parents for us to discipline our children. And I'm not saying discipline your child to the point where that child is suffering or you're neglecting that child or you're beating that child. But if your child does something wrong from a parental standpoint, you need to let that child know that you did something wrong. I'm not going to condone your behavior, and this is what's going to happen if you do it again. And we have to set those boundaries up, because sometimes so many people are trying to be friends with their kids. And sometimes a kid just needs you to be that authoritative figure, love them and nurture them But when they get out of line, you need to put them back in alignment, and you need to make sure that they understand what did they do wrong and why is it that you put them back in alignment. Because if you don't spare the rod, spoil the child when they're young, what is it going to look like whenever they hit those teenager years and adulthood and they're wilding out in public, and then you're saying, oh, not my child. Oh, no, he would never do that, or she would never do that, when you were the one that was just so lax with them. So, like, once again, boundaries applies on all fronts, personally, professionally. And we have to hold ourselves accountable, but also hold others accountable. And there are three helpful lessons in the book Boundaries. Once again, the authors are Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. One of the lessons was, boundaries are all about kindness to yourself and others. The second one is, it won't be quick or easy, but setting boundaries is always worth it, because when you are introducing something new, you need to remain consistent with it, persistent, and determined in order to carry it out, so it's not lip service. And boundaries will help you both in your personal and professional life, and I'll go more into detail soon, but we're going to take our next caller. We have caller three in queue. Caller three, thank you so much for dialing in. Once again, my name is Genesis Amaris Kemp. I am the host. And please state your name and where you're tuning in from.
My name is Tara Strunk, and I'm tuning in from Philadelphia. How are you doing, Miss Kemp?
I am doing very well, Tara. Thank you so much for tuning in all the way from Pennsylvania.
Yep. I'm really enjoying your show. You're doing a fantastic job. I love your topics, and I'm just calling in to give you my support. It's an outstanding topic, and you're doing a great job as usual.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Do you want to add any commentary regarding how you set up boundaries in your personal or professional life, and how do you go about making sure that you enforce them without feeling, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that? Because sometimes people, they set up those boundaries, but then they want to negate or go back on the boundaries that they set up, and then it makes the line of communication blurred, because then people don't take you serious.
Yeah, you guys are making very good points, Huni Bakun and Mo Garman. You guys have already made some very, very good points about boundaries. I would just like to add my two cents on that topic. To me, the main thing when setting up personal boundaries about yourself is, again, and it's already been said, it's your way of honoring you and telling others how to treat you. And it's a very effective way without abusing yourself, to make sure that you aren't abused, to make sure that your time and what you have to do when you as a person is respected. And it's essential. You know, it's essential with everybody around you. When we all take a look around us, we would notice a pattern of how we're being treated by everyone around us tells us the work that we have to do to settle some things on the inside. And when those things aren't happening, we can ask, well, what's going on? You know, why am I not worth it? So I think it's a unique way to assess self-worth, and it's essential in terms of having order in your life and being treated the way you want to be treated. I mean, having boundaries is very important. If you're overcome with guilt and you can't say no, then, you know, it's in your best interest to dig deep and see why you have a hard time saying no. Why isn't the value there for yourself? So just my two cents on that topic, on how revelatory it can be in terms of how you feel about yourself. You know, how you treat yourself and how you allow others to treat you tells a lot about where you are and the work that needs to be done. So just my two cents. A great topic and a great show.
Thank you so much, Terrace, and I really do appreciate that two cents, because it's so important, because what you just said is a part of self-care, because you're loving yourself enough to set up those boundaries, and then you're also setting that respect. And Aretha Franklin said it best, respect. You know, we all know that song. Find out what it means to me. And I feel like, you know, sometimes people don't respect themselves enough to set up those boundaries, and it may be just a paradigm shift or a mindset that they need to tweak, and it could be the product of their environment that they grew up in and the product of their environment that they're currently in as they get older, where they've been conditioned to certain things, and those certain things is not conducive to them, and then they feel broke down, they feel busted, they feel disgusted, they're angry, they have guilt and shame. But if they would just kind of take a step back and really self-reflect and do inventory, then they will understand, okay, what are some RCAs, some root cause analysis that's causing me not to enforce boundaries, or why do I feel the way that I feel? And I feel like we as individuals need to really dig deep to see what matters to us most. And once we figure out what matters to us most, who we are, and really walk into our mission, our purpose, and our calling, then that will make it easier for us to put out those boundaries onto other people once we know what our boundaries are and what we know our negotiables and non-negotiables are. Would you agree with that sentiment, Terrence?
Yes. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I want to let the listeners know that you're also a host here, and your show is coming up, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes.
Okay. So do you want to tell the listeners about the topic? I always remember that you're right after me, so I want to give all the hosts a shout out. Because you've called in Hooney and Mo, so all the heavy hitters tonight who have been on the airwaves longer than I have, making all those accolades.
You're too funny, heavy hitters. Yeah, my show is on tomorrow. I'm going to interview an energy analyst tomorrow, so it should be interesting.
Okay, amazing. And thank you so much, Terrence, for calling in. And I thank you for just the support and y'all just loving on me, especially as I'm transitioning into motherhood real soon. So for those of y'all, we're going to jump into our next track by DJ Legend, Brother O. DJ, hit that beat.
I can't live without your love. See, I'm smiling on the outside while I'm just crying on the inside, facing the world without your love. See, the truth has come to light. Because of some silly fight, I don't want to give without your love. Foolishly I suffer, only pretend. Oh, just a fool, my friend. Don't know what to do with myself without your love. There's a wounded, empty space that nothing can replace. That love that I lost. Yeah, my life, it means so much to me. I'm just crying on the inside, facing place in the world without your love. See, I'm fighting sleepless nights. Here's heaven once more. Save a heartbroken man. I can't live.
That was the soundtrack of our lives, featuring iconic Grammy Award winning R&B vocalist Teddy Pendergrass. And before we jump into the next caller, I want to welcome those of you that are just tuning in. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. This is a product of WBNN, and it's being brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment, and I am your host, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp. But before I take the next caller, I want to tell you, here are some examples of boundaries, just so y'all could be thinking about it as you call in. So some examples of boundaries are skin. It's the most basic boundary that defines you is your physical skin, and people often use this boundary as a metaphor for saying that their personal boundaries have been violated. Another one is words. In the physical word, a fence or some kind of structure usually delineates a boundary. In the spiritual world, fences are invisible. Nevertheless, you can create good protective fences with your words. Another example is truth. Knowing the truth about God and his property puts limits on you and shows you his boundaries. For those of you that are not religious or spiritual, you may have another view of truth. Geographical distance is another form of boundaries. Sometimes physically removing yourself from a situation will help maintain boundaries. You can do this to replenish yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually after you have given to your limit, or as Jesus often did, time. Mo Garman talked about this when she dialed in. Taking time off from a person or a project can be a way of regaining ownership over some out-of-control aspect of your life where boundaries need to be set. Emotional distance is another example. It's a temporary boundary to give your heart the space it needs to feel safe. It is never a permanent way of living. And people who have been in abusive relationships need to find a safe place to begin to thaw out emotionally. And then other people, sometimes you need to take a break from people, and that's okay. You need to depend on others to help you set and keep boundaries. Why do you need to depend on others when you already know what to do? So those are just some examples. Now I'm going to take caller 4. Caller 4, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Please state your name and where you're dialing in from.
Hi, it's Jerry Petito, sweetie. I'm dialing in from New Jersey.
Hi, Jerry. Jersey Jewel, y'all, for those of you who don't know. Thank you so much for calling in, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Mo and Hooney and Terrace. Everything they said was amazing. But I want to give a shout-out to you tonight more than ever, because you're going to make an amazing mom. Like, I know you've got to know that, okay? Because you know all the right things to do. I want to share something about boundaries. Everyone said really great things, but I just want to focus on the child right now, children, because that's where it starts. It starts with the parents giving the proper boundaries to their child. I mean, just think, if every parent did that, there would be no bullying. There would be, every child would feel like they had the worth they should feel. I mean, think about all that, right? So that's where it really, really starts. And I just wish we could get that out to every adult out there, because unfortunately, once it's too late, sometimes it's too late, you know. Like, parents have to understand that that's a huge responsibility. So if you want a child, please be prepared for it and do the right thing. But, you know, I don't know, something just resonated with me, and you kept saying, you know, you're close to motherhood, and I just see you as being an incredibly beautiful mother. So your child's going to be very lucky.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Yes, I'm a few weeks away from my delivery date. And, you know, I just thank God for, you know, just blessing me to embark upon this journey, because there are women out there who aren't fortunate to be mothers and it just hasn't happened for them. So I don't take it lightly. For those of you that are listening in, I do apologize for the background noise. It is 4th of July here where I am. So the fireworks are going off like crazy.
Yeah.
Jerry, and I just want to thank you just so much for just always supporting me on this radio station, you know, just holding it down, being a host here as well, and just, you know, giving me some encouragement, especially from a different vantage point and perspective, because even though you are seasoned, I won't say older than me, seasoned, we could always meet each other where we're at and just engage in very fluid conversations. And I just love the fact that you talked about boundaries from a parental aspect. Sometimes I feel like parents, they feel guilty because they don't necessarily want to parent the way that their parents parent them. And then whenever someone's looking at them, they're like, oh, we would never do this, or et cetera. But whenever you become a mother or a father yourself, you're going to do things that are different than what your parents did, because your child is different. And the age and the society that your child is being born into was different than when we were born and when our parents were born. And things have changed, like technology. These kids are glued to technology at, you know, they're fresh out the womb, gravitating to technology and et cetera. So it's like you have so many different things that you need to think about when it comes to boundaries and parenting in this day and age. And it's not easy, but, you know, it goes to say, like, you know, the old school way still works, but then there's a new school way too, and you just kind of have to mix them both up and do what's best for you, your child, and your family as a whole. And when it comes to making decisions, don't let anyone make you feel less than, because they're not the one living in your household and they don't know what's going on. They may be on the outside looking in, but until they come in this household daily and they walk in your shoes, then they can open their mouth and relate. And it's not to be disrespectful or rude. It's just to be real. And that's just real talk, because you could tell me all day long, but you can't tell me, oh, let's compare my child to your child, when they're being raised up by different parents. It may be a single mom. It may be a blended family. It may be whatever the case may be. And I feel like sometimes we like to pass off judgments and accusations on other people and not extend grace and mercy. So I just love how you gave your segment, and you just gave it to me from a different angle.
Wait, I want to add one more thing. This is important, guys. If the parents show real love to that child, when they're disciplined, they will still know it's out of love. See, that's the thing. So parents shouldn't be afraid to discipline their child properly, as long as they're showing that child love on a regular basis, and that child will respect that and know it's coming from love. I just had to say that as well.
I love that. Now you're making me want to ask Brother O to play that song. I'm searching for real love.
I love you. Listen, you're awesome, young lady, okay? Congratulations on being a mom very soon, you and your hubby.
Thank you so much, Jerry. And for those of y'all that just tuned in, that is our Jersey Jewel. She is a phenomenal host here on this station, and she's always coming fresh out the gate. And she always brings on amazing musical icons and legends and so many people that are just killing it in their field. So, Jerry, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to take the next caller. We have caller 5 in queue. You're on air live. We're broadcasting from Lagos. And for those of you just tuning in, it is a WBNN product. And we are being – I hear some background noise.
Hey, this is Ricardo Richard. I'm just calling in. I'm actually in Florida right now. I got a chance to listen to more so like the end of the conversation, but I definitely agree, like, what Jerry was saying about the balance. I don't have kids. First, I want to say congratulations, too, you know, on your new bundle of joy coming, because I know that's
Thank
a blessing.
You.
And I'm an educator, you know what I mean? So I see, like, a lot of that's going on as far as with the kids and behaviors and the things that kids have to go through. I just honestly, like I said, I agree with Jerry about the balance of it all, because you want to love your child and give them discipline, and you don't want to, like, over-abuse it where it becomes abuse, but at the same time, you don't want to allow your child to just do whatever they want to do, so you just want to have a balance in it. And I think also, see, I think the difference in my generation, like, I was born in the late 80s, and I would say, like, growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s, my dad pulled out the belt. You know, maybe my mom in them ages probably was a switch and probably went outside and got a branch. And I feel like with me, when God allows me one day to become a father one day, I want balance. I would want to talk to my child more so. You know what I mean? Like, in order for me to, for it to get physical, it had to really, really be, you know, something really serious. But if I could talk to them, you get what I'm saying? I feel like me growing up, I didn't really get a lot of talking to. You get what I mean? It was like straight laying the smack down. You get what I mean? And
yeah.
I think that it should be a balance, because I was seeing this thing the other day on Instagram, Facebook, and this little girl, she was like teaching me. I felt like she was just saying, like, you know, parents, when you guys say we're not on your level, you make us feel inadequate. You get what I'm saying? And I'm like, wow. Or, you know, that our voices don't matter because we don't pay the bills. And I'm just listening to her like, look at these kids, you know, teaching us. You get what I mean? And it was just so much stuff that she said. Like, and I was talking to my dad recently, and I think I said this before, and my dad's older than me, clearly. He's my dad. And I was giving him permission to, that it's okay to be okay. That is okay if you got to cry. And when I was talking to my aunt about it the other day, she was like, you know, that you probably was the first person ever in his life to tell him that it's okay, because we tell our kids, especially boys, like, get up, like, don't cry, be tough, don't be a punk. Like, you get what I mean? When it's just like these kids
yeah.
grow up and they're angry inside, and you don't know why, because all of their life they've been taught, oh, stop being a punk or whatever. Like, you got to be tough. You're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to. So what do you expect? A kid, they get older and they're a teenager and they're angry inside and they're growing up in their 20s. They don't know how to treat women. You get what I'm saying? And then we're killing each other. You get what I'm saying? Because of all of this suppressed anger. So it's just like when I was talking to my aunt, she's like, yo, we have literally messed up a generation of men, you know, especially black men, you know, growing up in inner city, because the fathers, most of the fathers aren't there. You get what I'm saying? And then the fathers that might be there, they're in and out, inconsistent. So the moms are raising the boys, and which can't raise the kids, especially not men, maybe women, but not men. And it's just like you're teaching your kids differently than you teach your little girls, you know? And you're telling them, don't cry, you got to be tough. Or you, when they get older, you got to be the man in the house, putting all of these unrealistic expectations on them. You get what I mean? So I told my cousin, you know, because I said, I feel like I'm a generational curse breaker. I was like, I got to get me a T-shirt that says
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Like, I got to stand
that.
In that. You feel me? Like, when God made me, he created, he broke the mold. And I'm not saying that in a cocky way, in a humble way. Because when I was younger, and I know it's almost time that, because I'll go on. When I was younger, I would say, I used to look at my family and be like, God, why you put me in this family? Like, I got to be adopted. But I realized that it takes a different kind of person to be in a family to break the pattern. Because if you're different, the different one in your family, like, who's going to break the pattern? You get what I'm saying? So I can
Absolutely.
Come along and, you know, and if everybody the same, everybody's going to do the same thing. So you got to, sometimes God, you know, God know what he's doing when he put you in his family and you're looking around and you're like, my family's crazy. You know, so I would just
so
say, like, it's important.
Because these are really good points, Ricardo, and they're coming fresh out the gate. And I do believe that how we were raised
how our parents raised us are different than how we're going to raise our children. We could take what they gave us, but then we also need to influence and use some of our own logic and reasoning. And I do feel like it needs to be a blend of discipline as well as talking to your kids, because if you're not talking to your kids, then who is talking to them? And you don't want the wrong people to get in their ear gate. You don't want the wrong spirits to jump off of them and get onto your children and et cetera. And you need to ask your kids, like, especially when they go to school and they come home, hey, baby, or hey, son or daughter, how was your day at school? What happened today or whatnot? And you really need to go deep with your children, because your children should feel like they could come to you and talk to you. But the minute they get out of line, that's when you need to put that kid in the line. And you could either discipline them by giving them some love taps. That's what I call it whenever I have to discipline my niece and nephew. And they know if we're in the store, I'm like, don't make me give you a love tap. Or they'll know how I look at them by my eyes or my body language, because nowadays, you know, people always like to intervene when other people are disciplining their children. And I'm like, you need to mind your own business, because you don't know what they did, and don't be picking up for them. And like from being a mother, getting ready to be a mother, you didn't carry that baby for 9 months. So how I'm going to discipline my child is my business. I'm not going to discipline my child to the way where my child is black and blue. But if they did something, oh, they're going to get it, because I need to let them know that that is not okay. And you're not going to have me in the streets looking crazy and people like, ooh, she don't know how to manage her child. No, because we don't play that. But you're going to either get it, and I'm going to be mindful of that. But then I'm also going to talk to you to let you know what you did was wrong. I don't appreciate it. I don't condone that. And why do you feel the need that you needed to go about doing it? So in my opinion, I do think that it's a blend of both. And we need to start having these conversations. And we need to let our kid know that it's okay for them to voice certain things. And as a parent, if you did something wrong to your child, I feel like you should take ownership and apologize. And that's one thing I learned from my brother and my niece and nephew. I've seen my brother had to apologize. I'm sorry for the way I made you feel or whatever. And I think that's commendable, because I don't think my mom apologized to me, because it's like, oh, no, I'm the mama. What I say goes. But my dad, who's no longer here, my dad and I were super close, and he passed almost 2 years ago. He would always talk to me. But my dad was like a different – he came from a different part of the Caribbean. Like, my dad was from Curaçao, so off the tip of Venezuela. And my mom is West Indian, so she's Caribbean. So the way that they put it, like, oh, go pick your switch off the tree. Don't talk back. Whenever an elder is talking, that's the final decision. No debate. No, da-da-da-da. So the way that she raised my brothers versus how she raised me was totally different, because – raising kids in the Caribbean is different than raising kids in America. And, you know, nowadays, if somebody sees something, they're going to want to call CPS or whatnot. And they're on the outside looking, and they don't even know the full scope of the story. So I just really wanted to add that commentary behind what you were saying, Ricardo, because it's a different season. So, yeah, thank you for calling in, Ricardo.
And I know we're going to... This was really informative. I just wanted to say thank you, you know, just for what you're talking about.
Oh, my pleasure, and enjoy your time in Florida. Sounds like y'all are turning up. So we're going to go to our next track by DJ Legend, Brother O, and y'all, the last guest was Ricardo. He's also a host here on WBNN.
Thank you.
MJB. For those of you who don't know, MJB is Mary J. Blige, and her song was entitled Real Love. We are tuning back in. This is our gem segment. I am the host, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, and we are talking about the topic boundaries. How do we set boundaries, enforce them, and maintain them without feeling guilty, but understanding and realizing that boundaries is a sign of respect for ourselves, and it's a part that we need to enforce because other people set boundaries for us, so why can't we set them for ourselves and others? And we are going to take caller six. Caller six, you are online with Genesis Amaris Kemp. Please tell me your name and where you're dialing in from.
Sweetie, it's Jerry Petito again.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well.
Really? Okay, so rub that belly for me, okay? That's what the Italians do. They rub their bellies when they have a baby in there. So are you
sitting down? I am sitting down. I'm rubber. I talk to the baby, all of that.
I should. And I want to give a shout-out to our Hall of Fame DJ Alasky, our producer, because this music is rocking tonight. I love that song. So I want to congratulate you, sweetheart, Genesis Amaris Kemp, on your WBNN all-time connection record with your eighth all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring our late Hall of Famer. That's for you, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you so much. Now you're going to make me want to get up and bounce on my yoga ball because that is an exercise that's getting me prepared for delivery.
You can do that too.
Because I can't be jumping up like I used to, y'all. So thank you so much, Jerry, for everyone that has tuned in, for the support from y'all. I know I've been, you know, MIA, but y'all, I had to set boundaries for myself and get ready for motherhood, y'all, because my house was literally, stuff was everywhere, and I'm still going through stuff. So it's a journey, y'all, but I'm happy. I'm happy that the Lord is blessing me, especially, you know, I tell people the sunshine has came out, especially after losing my dad, my corporate job, my grandmother, and my other grandmother, all within a year and a half, y'all. Y'all just don't know. And people say, you don't look like what you've been through. I said, well, I thank God for, you know, keeping me. Because, ooh, Jesus, it was tough. But, you know, he brought me through. That's why the word is called breakthrough. Sometimes you're broken, but you make it through to the other side. So, yeah, I'm just so grateful. For those of you that are tuning in, once again, this is a product of WBNN. We are broadcasting live from Lagos, and you could dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. If you have any last-minute commentary you want to share, my name is Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, but I'm going to hit you with the final thoughts, and then we're going to jump into Ngozi time, which is when our legendary Brother O will get on, and you'll hear his commentary. And I want to talk about, in Chapter 4 of the book, how are boundaries developed? I'm just going to read a quick bit, and then I'm going to tie us up here, y'all. So it says, boundary development. Remember the old saying, insanity is genetic? You inherit it from your kids. Well, boundaries are inherited. They are built to be the truth-telling, responsible, free, and loving people God wants us to be when we need to learn limits from childhood on. Boundary development is an ongoing process, yet its most crucial stages are in our very early years where our character is formed. And even though our character is formed in our early years, I like to tell people just as seasons change, we as individuals begin to change and evolve. So sometimes you may need to tweak your boundaries, and that is okay. But just make sure that you're setting your boundaries up for yourself because it's a way of practicing that self-care, that self-love, and et cetera. And then bounding is the foundation of boundary building. So sometimes it's not always easy, but you have to build upon it. And if you think about Legos, if for those of you who have kids, sometimes the Legos are just pieces, but when you piece those pieces together, you start to see how things begin to take formation, because it's a building block, y'all. It's a process, and you're not always going to get it right. So just give yourself grace and mercy, but then make sure that you are remaining persistent. And then another thing that I want to say about boundaries is, yes, it can be hard to set up boundaries, but it will make your life much better. Before you're comfortable enough to assess or assert boundaries, you might make excuses for other people violating your boundaries because it's new to you. It's something that you're just walking into. So you may stuff like, for example, I'm going to say Jeff. Jeff always puts me down when he's with his friends. He's only joking, though. No. If Jeff is always putting you down when he's with his friends, does he respect you? So he respects you privately, but he doesn't respect you publicly? No, you need to set some boundaries with Jeff. But over time, you start to get resentful. And when you get resentful, that animosity builds up and et cetera. And then you start to be looking at Jeff all side-eye, but you're the one that allowed Jeff to treat you certain ways. So just take that into consideration. And then another thing that it says from this expert is their insistence on using you can be addictive for you because it makes you feel needed. Because if somebody's always coming to you, you're like, oh, man, they need me or whatnot. But the minute that you can't run to their aid, then they're looking at you as if, you know, you're not their savior anymore. And, you know, your love for somebody shouldn't be conditional on what they can do for you. And I hate when people make that other people's problems and they try to project that onto you. So, y'all, I really want you to think about the topic boundaries. It's so many things that we could have went into, but I'm so thankful for every single caller that called in tonight to give their viewpoint on the topic boundaries, as well as their viewpoint on the news articles that we talked about. Police shooting in Akron, Ohio, with Jaylen Walker, who was shot 60 times. We talked about Jeff Bezos calling out President Joe Biden regarding him reaching out to oil and gas companies and other corporations to cut their gas prices because inflation, y'all, we're all seeing that. And then I also talked about the world news, the shooting in Copenhagen, Denmark, so another mass shooting. So those were the three news articles I covered, and then I jumped into the gem segment, which was based on the book Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. So if you haven't read that book, this is a good book to grab, especially if you're struggling with how you should maintain and keep boundaries. And it says, when to say yes, how to say no, to take control of your life. We're all the drivers in our vehicle. And when I say vehicle, the vehicle is your life. You need to have authority and take control of your life. Stop letting other people inflict certain things onto you. And once again, my name is Miss Genesis Amaris-Kemp. I run this news hour here as well as the GEM segment once a month. And I also run a podcast called GEMS Podcast, which is on over 40-plus platforms. If you're interested, you could go to my website, which is genesisamariskemp.net, to find out all the incredible things that I'm doing, not just here on the radio station or my podcast, but also in my business sense. I am a visionary life coach, so I would love your support. If anything I said resonates with you and you want to work with me one-on-one, feel free to reach out. And there's a lot of things that I have going on, but just look me up. Once again, that's genesisamariskemp.net, and you can find me on socials at genesisamariskemp at Instagram and Facebook, and then I'm on Twitter at genesisakemp. So now we're going to jump into Ngozi time.
Well, first of all, I want to thank her so much for our outstanding performance, Miss Genesis Amaris-Kemp, tonight. And Genesis, it's been a long time since I've been to see you. Congratulations on your WBNN all-time connection record, young lady. And it's wonderful and well-deserved, eighth all-time with the Darlene Lawrence Championship tonight. How do you feel about that?
I feel amazing because when I got on, I was like, you know what, God, I'm just going to do my thing, even though I'm so tired with the baby. But I was like, hey, I got to keep rocking and rolling.
Well, we want to thank the baby. The baby really helped the championship tonight. So, baby that's in the womb, thank you so much for helping your mom with this championship. First of all, folks, I want to thank all the folks that account that robbery. I've listened to this outstanding network. I want to thank, you know, our support from our host tonight and support from around the world. You know, tonight has been very, very touching to me, especially when it comes down to parenthood. And, you know, I have a child, my child. I don't say only, okay? I say my child. And so proud of him, living in San Francisco, California as a chef and, you know, doing it. And still, he's a performing chef, and he's working and in college. So I'm so proud of my son. And shout out to him and all the things that he do on a constant basis. Love you. Love you, son. And, you know, parenthood is very, very different for everybody. Discipline is never the enemy of enthusiasm. God knows that. Never the enemy of enthusiasm. And I'm so proud of what we do today here at this network. Proud of Genesis and her all-time next direct tonight. Proud of our commissioner, who just joined us, and she's going to give him Gozy time straightway in a moment. But I want to say to all of you out there that love overcomes a multitude of faults. It really does. And now it's time for our commissioner to give a wonderful and Gozy time at this time.
All right. Genesis, I am so happy for you tonight. Congratulations on your all-time connection record. And I was out performing tonight, but I wanted to make sure I got on here to support you and to give Ngozi time. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Mlewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Mlewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to Genesis, Amaris Kemp.
Thank you so much, Chinchilla J. Y'all, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in and supporting News Hour as well as the GEM segment and just listening in and just carving out time out of your schedule to just support myself as well as the other hosts that called in tonight. Once again, my name is Genesis Amaris Kemp. You can learn more info about what I have going on outside of the radio station by going to Genesis, that's Genesis, Amaris, AmarisKemp.net. That is my website. You'll find my book there. You'll find the podcast, this radio show, as well as a features and merchandise tab. There are some freebies out there for y'all. I would love to hear from each one of you. Let me know what you liked about the show. I also want to know if you want to partner and work with me and et cetera. I'm just so grateful, and I want to give all glory and honor to the Lord, my Savior, for just allowing me to be a part of this network and meeting so many incredible people that I haven't even met in person, but we're a family here and we support one another, and I'm just so thankful. So y'all, I hope you really take into consideration boundaries for yourself personally as well as professionally, and you stay current on different news situations and don't always perceive what the media says to be true. Always try to do your due diligence and research if you can, because we all know that a pair of lips can say anything, and we just need to be mindful that there's so many things taking place in the world, but how are you going to process what is taking place? Are you going to start being more proactive versus reactive? And are you going to start questioning certain things whenever your gut instincts, that intuition or that discernment is telling you that something is off? Like, we're all very intelligent people, and I want you to really take that into consideration as you begin to walk out this new season in your life. And that's pretty much all that I wanted to say tonight, y'all. So I'm just so grateful for each one of you for tuning in and supporting WBNN, supporting me as a host, as well as the other hosts that run their show on this segment. Once again, this has been brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment, and I am Miss Genesis Amarskamp for News Hour and Gems, because we all have some gems to share. So why not come together and talk about it? Collaboration is not the new competition. It's actually the new way of creating synergies, and we could all parlay together. So I hope you all have a blessed and prosperous night for those of you in the U.S. Once again, happy 4th of July for those of you around the world. I hope you enjoy the remainder of your evening. Love y'all.